number one. This is message number five from the book of Romans. I've decided to call it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And so when we get to 58, we'll be close to being done, maybe. Something like that. I want to preach this morning. Again, I want you to remind you that Paul is sitting in his office in the city of Corinth. He will be there for 18 months as he establishes the Corinthian Baptist Church there in the city of Corinth. And as he is there, he begins to write this book to the Romans. And so there's a couple of factors that are certainly going on. First of all, he is under the inspiration of God as he writes it, because this is the Word of God that I'm preaching from this morning. And he looks at the idolatry, and he looks at the intellectualism of Corinth. And he looks at the Roman world as a whole, and there's many of those things that would describe or characterize that Roman world and that city of Corinth that would come to right directly into our culture today. And Paul is going to begin in this section of Scripture to begin to preach about or to begin to write about how that the wrath of God is going to come upon the world, and that God has revealed himself to the world, and man's response to God's revelation has not been what it should be. This is why we preach the Word of God. Because if we don't preach the Word of God, people will fall more and more into intellectualism, idolatry, unthankfulness, and such as that. God has given us His special revelation, the Bible. He's also given us other revelation, like the consciousness that's within man and the creation that is outside of these doors. And so I want you to see that the world is guilty. Man is a sinner. And then the next message, we'll probably look at the results of what takes place when people reject God's revelation. But I'm going to preach again on this subject: man's response to God's revelation. Beginning in verse number 18, in verse chapter 1, the Bible says this: "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Now that word "hold" there has the idea of hold down or suppress. And when men hear the Word of God, they want to suppress the truth. When people understand that they're sinners, they want to suppress that, or they want to hold it down. And they don't want to hear about the wrath of God. They only want to hear about the love of God. But you cannot preach the love of God unless you recognize the wrath of God. Verse number 19, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Do you see that? Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. God put it within you to know what is right and what is wrong. For God has showed it unto them. And then he goes on to say, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Listen, my friend, you're not going to be able to go to hell unless you go through your outside of your conscience, outside of creation, and outside the Word of God. Amen. You have no excuse. Right. Well, what about the heathen that lives in the Amazon and he has no excuse? Because he has seen within himself and he has seen the creation, and if he chooses to, that will lead him to God. Here tells us the rest of it, and I'm going to really preach right here this morning. "Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." We got a lot of that going on today. "And changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beast, and creeping things." And I'm not going to preach this, but just for the context, let me just tell you, God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Did you see that? Their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. And then they changed the truth of God into a lie, and they worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. And I may preach that a lot, because we live in a day where people are more concerned about their dogs than a baby in a womb. We live in this day that Paul saw. God help us today as we look at the Word of God. I pray that the Word of God as it is preached would cause men to understand that there is the love of God, but first we must understand the wrath of God, and that people have rejected their own conscience, their own God consciousness today, and they've severed it with a hot iron. There's a creation outside of these walls, and people ignore that, and they say things like Mother Nature or some other foolish thing, and they worship the earth rather than worshiping the God who created the earth. God, I pray this morning we might understand what's been written by you to us today, and that our response to God's revelation would be repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated this morning. I really believe in today's culture and today's what I would call Christendom. There is a tendency in many congregations across the world in so-called churches, and I'm not going to get into that they're really not churches, they're just social centers, but I see a tendency today to speak about the love of God, the love of God, the love of God, without ever referring in any way to the wrath of God. And my friend, the Bible speaks of both the wrath of God and the love of God. And in the book of Romans, we have to understand as we're going through this book that the first thing that Paul is going to bring our attention to is he is going to show us or reveal us that man is a sinner before he ever reveals to us that God has a way of salvation. I think I've mentioned this before, but Romans is one of those books where you like build a case like you would in a court setting, where somebody would want to show, the prosecution would want to show that man is guilty, but then after showing him the man is guilty, that God made a way for man to be saved. And so Paul begins to unfold the details of the gospel, which in the gospel his righteousness has been revealed. May I take you back to verse 17 where it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The only way that we're ever going to be able to be saved is to have faith in what God has done for us. The only way that we're ever going to live our life as a child of God is not through fear, but it is through faith. We live in a day of fear today. People are afraid to go to the hospital. They're afraid to go to the grocery store. They're afraid to go to church. They're afraid of everything because they have listened too much to the lie of the devil in many cases. Now, I'm not saying walk into sickness, don't get me wrong, but people are living by fear rather than living by faith. We live our life by faith. God is in control no matter what takes place. And so the righteousness of our salvation is based on what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. But he makes it very clear that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness and upon all unrighteousness. So he is going to expound on the condemnation of man all the way through chapter 3 and verse number 20. So there's going to be a lot of preaching about sin, condemnation, the wrath of God, what happens when man does not respond correctly to the revelation of God. And the idea of a wrathful God goes against most of people's thinking today. I don't want to hear about the wrath of God. Don't preach to me. But yet when Jesus Christ came on the scene and when John the Baptist came on the scene, they both preached, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand." Why would you repent? Because you're a sinner. Why would you repent? Because the wrath of God has been revealed from heaven. A lot of contemporary evangelism today talks about the abundant life, the joys and the blessings of salvation, the peace of God through faith in Christ. But my friend Paul's going to make it very clear that the need of preaching goes on because we need to understand that when man rejects God's revelation, it will take him further and further away from God. When you reject God's revelation, it will always take you further and further away from God. If you're a child of God and you walk away from the revelation of God and you know God says something and you say, well, that's for somebody else, you walk away from God. You go further away from God, not get closer to God. And the gospel must be preached in the day in which we live because the rejection of God leads people away. No, they need to understand, hey, you're a sinner. The wrath of God is real. But there is the way of salvation. Amen. You know, the thing about it is, Paul spoke about eternal condemnation and eternal damnation as his first motivation to coming to Christ. Hey, listen, I did not want to go to hell. When I heard the message of hell, I did not want to go there. But I could not get there unless I was willing to turn away from my sin and turn to Christ. And the pressure of hell should be applied to evil mankind today. He was determined that they need to understand the reality of being under God's wrath before you can offer a way to escape it. You should be afraid of hell if you're lost. You should understand the wrath of God is real. It is so real. It is so real. That approach not only makes logical sense, but it makes theological sense. A person cannot appreciate the fullness of God's love until he knows something about the anger of God or the fierceness of God's anger against sinful man. That's why it tells us in verse 18 that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and all unrighteousness of men who hold or try to suppress the truth in unrighteousness. If all we do is preach about God's love, listen to this, we're only telling half the story. We're only telling half the story. We're only telling the half of a truth. And a half of a truth ain't no truth in the first place. For God to love something means God hates something. God loves something like righteousness and holiness and godliness. And God hates unrighteousness and ungodliness and wickedness. In fact, his wrath is revealed. It is revealed. The special revelation of God to man says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I'm afraid man cannot appreciate God's forgiveness until he realizes the eternal consequences of his sin. The word wrath here that we read about in verse number 18 means a settled, determined indignation of God. God's not going to change his mind about his hatred for sin. God is not going to change his mind about his hatred of ungodliness and unrighteousness. He's not going to do it. And God says those who try to suppress the truth, those who go away from the truth, those who try to hold the truth in unrighteousness, the wrath of God is all they're going to have upon their life. Because God perfectly hates just as God perfectly loves. God perfectly loves righteousness and God perfectly hates evil. I want to say again, it's a great tragedy of modern Christianity, including much of evangelism today or evangelicalism, the failure to preach and teach the wrath of God and the condemnation that it brings upon, listen to this, unforgiven sin. God wants you to know that he will judge the world. And today, the gospel is frequently presented, that is presented today, falls very short of preaching against sin or preaching about the wrath of God or preaching on hell, if you would. But I will say before people can see their need to be saved or to receive God's righteousness, they must understand their own sinfulness. Their own sinfulness. And Paul describes the sinfulness of the human race in our text today. Do you realize that there was a time in the human race that they knew the new, true and living God, and they knew Him only. What do you mean by that? Go back to the days of Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were in the garden and everything was perfect. They knew God. They walked with God. And I'm telling you, they listened to the wicked lie of the devil. And they sinned and plunged man into the days of darkness and into the days of sin. We could go back to the days of Noah, from Noah all the way to the Tower of Babel. Wickedness once again filled the earth. But truly, man understood the truth about that God, they knew God. They knew God, but then they believed the lie of the devil. Truly, man is a sinner and comes short of God's glory. So we need to see what happens, though. We need to understand what happens when God gives man revelation and man rejects that revelation. Now, I don't know if you know this, but I think you do. God's special revelation is the Word of God. God has revealed Himself to us through the Bible. And I'm going to say this as kindly as I can. To the English-speaking people, there's only one Bible. The Authorized King James Version. I make no apologies for that. In fact, I'm going to preach about this intellectualism, which decides that they know more than the Bible. They have actually become foolish in their imagination when they do that. My friend, God has given us the inerrant, the infallible, the perfect, preserved Word of God. And I believe that by faith. I believe it, or I would not be preaching today. I believe it. And let me tell you something. But God has also given man not only special revelation, but before God ever gave His special revelation to us, He gave us common sense revelation, is what I call it. And He speaks about two things. He talks about the consciousness of man, and we know that it's been severed in man, but God still gave you a conscience. You know that if you go to Walmart and try to steal a candy bar, that's wrong. Nobody has to write a law that says, thou shalt not steal, because you know in your being that that's wrong. That's what God does for us. And the Bible teaches us here that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth. Again, that word hold has the idea of holding it down or suppressing what God has done. And so you know what man does? Man suppresses his conscience. He holds down the truth, even though he can look out at creation and see that God created the heavens and the earth. He suppresses it. He holds it down. He goes and starts worshiping the owl and the dog, and he starts worshiping the creation rather than the one who created it in the first place. But God says this, you, my friend, are without excuse. You understand these things. If I hold you down, I'm suppressing you. And even though men suppress God's truth, listen, it doesn't matter. His wrath has been revealed, and He's revealed it from heaven. The word again, revealed, has the idea of uncovering, bringing to light, or making known. Listen, my friend, God has made known Himself to us. God's wrath has always been revealed to fallen mankind and is repeatedly illustrated through the Scriptures. If you go again to the revealed Word of God in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve trusted the serpent's word above God's word, God's wrath was revealed. And He said, you shall surely die. God's wrath was revealed in the flood when God drowned the whole human race except for 8 souls. That is the wrath of God revealed. God's wrath was revealed in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah when He looked at that society and the wickedness of their sin, and he said, my wrath is revealed. And if His wrath was revealed against Sodom and Gomorrah, and this kind of behavior and lifestyle and culture raises itself up to ours, who do you think God, you think God's going to go back and apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for His wrath? No. He's just going to bring His wrath upon us. God showed His wrath in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. God showed His wrath when He drowned Pharaoh's army. It was revealed in the curse of the law upon the transgression, the institution of the sacrificial system of the Mosaic covenant. And God's wrath was revealed. Listen to this. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and bore the sin of all mankind, God's wrath was revealed. God's wrath. See, that's what sin does. That's not to be taken lightly. God hates sin so deeply and requires its penalty of sin, so that he allowed his perfect, beloved Son of God to go to the cross. And you know what the Bible says? He took our sin upon him. He became sin for us. The Bible says that he turned his back on his only begotten Son. And on the cross, Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Don't come to God and want to be saved unless you're really willing to recognize your sinful condition. God's wrath is revealed, but yet man rejects God's revelation. Man suppresses God's truth. Inside of man, he knows there's a God. Verse number 19 says this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. For God has showed it unto them. Man has a conscience. Man has a God consciousness. You ever feel guilty about doing something that you knew you shouldn't have done? Why do you feel that guilt? Because you have a God consciousness within you. That inner sense of what is right and what is wrong. And men have rejected their God consciousness to the point that they try to suppress that. If you'll notice over in Romans chapter 2, probably on most Bibles on the same page, in verse number 14 of chapter 2, it says, for when the Gentiles, which don't even have the law, by the way, the Jews had the law. He says, when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the mean while accusing or else accusing one another. Let me tell you something, my friend. Listen up here. You know what is right and you know what is wrong. God put that within you. You know what that's called? God's revelation. It's not God's special revelation, but it is general revelation. And your conscience is a witness. It's not the way of salvation. Your consciousness is not going to save you, but it's going to show you there is a God. And I hate to break the news to you, but your dog and your cat and your parrot and your bird don't have a conscience. They do the things they do because they're a dog and they're a cat and they're a bird or whatever it might be. Oh, isn't he so smart? They can be trained. But he don't have a conscience. And however, God has not only given us a conscience, he's also given us creation. Look at verse number 20. For the invisible things of him from the, look at this, creation of the world, look at this, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In 1912, Teddy Roosevelt, who was a very popular president from 1901 after McKinley was shot, he took over in the first year. He was reelected in 1904, became the president until 1908, was a very popular president, was a very, very straightforward man. So because he was manly, now they want to take down his statues. Now, if you're a effeminate, they'll probably put a statue up for you. But if you're a man, they don't want that today. May God help us. So after he retired from public life in 1912, he didn't like Taft, the big president, weighed over 300 pounds, got stuck in a tub in the White House. I thought that was a funny story. Can you imagine? No, I don't want to imagine. So in 1912, he decides to start the Bull Moose Party. And he wanted to go against the Republican Party, and he lost, and he was devastated. It just devastated him that he lost. So he decided that he was going to go to South America. And every time Teddy Roosevelt seemed like, if you read his whole history of his life, seemed like every time something tragic happened to him, like his wife died when he was very young, he took off to the Dakotas, and he would just go through these real rough times of his life where he would just try to press himself to the max on hunting or nature, whatever. Well, this time he's so devastated that he takes a trip to South America, and he's going to go down the Amazon River, and they're going to go down this river called the River of Doubt, which no man had ever gone down, and it was going to be about a 400 or 500 mile trek. There was 22 people that was on it. There was a lot of naturalists. They were going to make this journey. He wrote a journal every day, and they ran into Indians that had never seen civilization, and they were crude, and there was all kinds of things. So you ever heard about the Amazon Indians and like that? But yet, no matter what you see in the world, even with Amazon Indians in 1912, 1913, had never seen man, they still had a religious nature about them. Because I always look for that kind of stuff, and how they try to worship God in their own way. You know why? Because man, no matter who he is, got a God consciousness about it. And no matter who he is, no matter where he is born, no matter where in the world he is, he still can look up and see the moon and the stars, and he can see the seasons, and he can see the budding of the tree. Listen, let me tell you something. Nature worships God. The trees bud, the birds sing, the rivers roar. You know, the only creation of man, the only creation of God that fails to worship God in any way is man. Nature worships God, if we want to call it that way. But God's fingerprints are everywhere, folks. God's fingerprints are everywhere. Listen to what the psalmist said in Psalm 19. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech. Listen to that. Night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line is gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it. And there is nothing hid from thereof. God's power, God's nature is on full display in creation. The order of creation, the beauty of creation, they are clearly seen every day. I don't care for winter. That's just me. I don't care for snow and all of that. But you have to agree that when it snows, it's beautiful. Especially if you're sitting in front of your fireplace in your house and you got a big window that you're able to look out and go, yep, that's pretty, but I just don't want to. I have PTSD from working for FedEx for 10 years, driving vans that were not four-wheel drive, and they were rear-wheel drive, and we would have to put 100 bags of sand on top of the wheels in the back just to get traction and not slide down the ditch and all that. So that'll mess with you for the rest of your life. So my best kind of snow is when it snows a lot on the grass and there's nothing on the street. That's the best kind of snow. But it's still beautiful. And God says that that's what he does to our sin. Turns it to white as snow. I like it when it says that. I'm more of the spring guy. I'm more of the guy that likes to see the trees begin to bud. And the grass begin to grow. And things begin to turn green. And the golf courses start to look good. Oh yeah. I'm more of that guy. But you can't look at that and not know there's a God. If you do, you're suppressing the truth. You're holding the truth of God's revelation down. When the heathen sees the creation around him, the mountains, the sky, the stars, the trees, the flowers. I remember when my dad got into his upper 50s and 60s, he always, before then, it was always just a garden. It had to be vegetables in the garden. Then he started putting flowers around the house. And I had gone off and had been in the Air Force and had a family of my own, and we would travel back to Tennessee, and all of a sudden I said, "Who are you? And what did you do with my dad?" "Flowers?" And my dad said, "Food for the soul." And I agree with him. So now I like flowers. And I like birds. Still don't like trees. But I can see that God is real. What Paul is saying is that man, when he looks at creation, he must conclude that there is a God. Abraham Lincoln said this, "I can see how it might be possible for a man to look down at the earth and be an atheist, but I cannot conceive how he could look up into the heavens and say, there is no God." Men know something and understand something of the reality and the truth of God, and I want you to understand they are responsible to respond correctly to God's revelation, so that God says, look in verse number 20, so that they are without excuse. I'm not going to go through a bunch of stories, but I have heard many occasions where people may have been in the Amazon or Africa or the Congo or some remote location in India or some region that we can't even imagine as we live in this great country that God has so blessed us with. But it doesn't mean that the wrath of God cannot be revealed on our wickedness. And how many times have I heard of a village in Africa or a hut in India or a place in the Amazons where God sent a man of God there who not only believed in God's general revelation, but he brought to them the special revelation of God's word. And he began to preach to them and tell them about the love of God, the wrath of God, and the love of God and salvation, to which there has been many a reply, "I always knew there was a God. I just didn't know how to have a relationship with Him until you came and revealed unto me God's special revelation." Can I say to you today, America is without excuse. And if you sit at Berean Baptist Church on a weekly basis, you are without excuse. If you reject your conscience, the creation, and the special revelation called the Word of God. So you know what God does here, what Paul does? He says, let me tell you what man's response to God's revelation have been. And it's just in two verses. I mean, there's a result of it. But I want to look at what happens when man, what happens, how man responds to God's revelation. The first way that man responds to God's revelation is indifference. Indifference. Look at verse number 21. It says, "Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God." Man has willfully rejected the revelation of God's Word. Man's chief end is to glorify God, yet they glorify Him not. They mock Him. They shake their fist at Him. They spit in the air at Him. You know why? Because when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. Of all God's creation, man is the only one that willfully chooses not to glorify God. As I said, birds sing, trees bud, stars shine, animals all speak to the glory of God. Man chooses not to. For those that have a hard time with Calvinism, which I don't, it's wicked. But I hear people say, oh yeah, the book of Romans teaches Calvinism. If you think the book of Romans supports that doctrine, understand here, you may understand that we clearly see that man makes his own choice when it comes to God's revelation. Very clear. Look at that, choice. They knew God, they glorify Him not as God. Neither were they thankful. Ingratitude. By the way, this is the first step down to the path of God's wrath is indifference. I don't care. Okay, sarah, sarah. So what? Whoop-de-doo. No. God's wrath is revealed. Man must be saved. Can't be indifferent with God. Second of all, there's the ingratitude. Neither were they thankful. They had no appreciation for what God has done for us. Listen to me. Listen to me. God gives you air to breathe every day. God allowed you, most of us, to be born in this country. And yet there's no appreciation, no love. It's all about give me, give me, give me. This is owed to me. Listen, let me tell you what's owed to you. Hell, that's what's owed to you. Anything outside that's the grace of God. Our society is marked by unthankfulness. I cannot believe parents don't teach their children anymore to say thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. Thank you for letting me live in this house. Thank you that you feed. I mean, every time your mother cooks, you should say thank you, Mom. Ingratitude. And kids today think they are owed something. You're not owed anything. And God's people were to be thankful. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him. Bless His name. We are commanded to be thankful. Colossians, New Testament. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. God causes the rain to, He causes the rain, the sun to shine. God is good. Amen. Another reason that man responds to the rejection of the revelation of God is not only ingratitude and not only is indifference, but ignorance. It says, but became vain in their imaginations and their foolish heart was darkened. They became vain in their imagination. Boy, do we live there today? People are just foolish and their heart is darkened. Don't argue with me about gender. Man, we have gone so far from the gender issue. You know, used to it was, let's talk about how the genders dress. I mean, we used to talk about that. That's actually a thing, if you don't understand it. That, you know, like men look like men. They kind of like walk like men. And they act like men. One thing I cannot stand is a man who's effeminate. A woman's supposed to be that way. She's supposed to be like that. And so used to, we talk about how women are to be effeminate and how they dress like women and act like women. And then they go to the, you even go to the, like the bathroom and you go, doesn't say man and it doesn't say woman. But because of the dress, we kind of know, oh, that's the woman's bathroom. And that's the men's bathroom. That's universal, by the way. You can go to India and it's like that. Oh, no. Oh, no, preacher, you can't talk about that anymore. We're far beyond that. Now we got to try to preach to people that girls are girls and boys are boys. Because the gender issue has gone way beyond dress. Now it has come to the place where people go, well, when you get to be 5 or 6 years old, you get to decide whether you want to be a boy or a girl. Can I say that is right here where the Bible says that they are in their imagination become foolish and their heart has become dark. And I don't want to get crude. I really don't. But you won't ever see two horses that are males kissing on each other. Because they know that ain't, that's against nature. Yeah, we're living where the truth is suppressed. Yeah, even Christians suppress the truth in their imaginations, and their foolish heart is darkened. The word imaginations here speaks of the thought process that carries the idea of deliberately coming to a conclusion, but it has nothing to do with truth. Well, this is the way I live my life. This is the way I live my life. I mean, people just need to leave me alone. Well, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. The word vain here means empty, futile, worthless, stupidity. Man that rejects the Bible comes up with things that are much more fanciful than what the Bible tells us. Takes more faith, by the way, I believe this. I've always said this. Takes more faith to believe in evolution. than it does the Word of God. Amen. You know what the word darken means? Absence of light. As a result of pushing God out of their life, they lose the God-given ability to reason. To reason and to come up with sensible conclusions concerning the things of God. This is what happens when you suppress the truth. This is what happens when you suppress the Word of God. This is what happens when you say in your heart, don't tell me what to do. I'll do what I want to do. Like the gender issue. I'm telling you again, that is the... It gives me a headache. When people say, oh, we, you know, my daughter, when she got 7, she decided she wanted to be a boy. Well, I'm telling you, there's enough women acting like men and men acting like women that children are confused anyway. And they shouldn't be. Daddy should act like daddy. And mama should act like mama. And by the way, there's a difference between men and women. Totally different. Men are totally different than women. Don't get me started. The tragedy is that lost men love the darkness. Jesus said, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Today, people who challenge and question the authority of God's Word often want to tell us how intelligent they are and how spiritual they really are. There's a growing thing today. If you reject, let me go to the lost world. If you reject the Genesis account of creation and you reject the worldwide flood, that puts you in a category of enlightenment or intelligent. I'll read these books, you know, like River of Doubt. This guy's describing all of the things in the Amazon and the river and how it took place and all of these things. And he said 2.8 million years ago. And I'm like, that guy's an intelligent idiot. Because the world is only about 6,000 years. Everything we see is always is taken back to the flood. The reason that we have the caverns that we have, the reason that we have the mountains that we have, is the flood. And you go down to Texas and they find a dinosaur who was a dinosaur and he got caught in the flood. He drowned and he's a dinosaur. And they bring these rocks out and go, oh, look, 3.7 million years ago. No, it was about 6,000 years ago. Noah, the flood, that's where he was at. Isn't it so awesome and liberating just to believe the Bible?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Oh, yeah. Yes, let me tell you about the Genesis. There is no really creation. It was millions and millions of years ago. Two lights came out and poof, hit each other. And that's like taking a watch and throwing it as hard as I can against that wall. Poof, and it goes into a million pieces. And by the time it hits the earth, poof, it all comes back together. Cuckoo, cuckoo. No, a watch was put together by an intelligent man who put the parts like that, and the world was put together by God.
Amen.
That's called revelation.
Amen.
And I'm just telling you, it's nothing more than the ploy of the devil.
That's right.
In Genesis chapter 3, what did the serpent tell Eve? If you reject God's word, if you reject God's authority in your life, your eyes will be opened. The devil promises more light. The devil promises more understanding. The devil will always promise more intellectualism if you just don't believe the Bible. Yet what man gets is more darkness, more steps down the path of God's wrath. And folks, let me tell you the fourth one. There is the ignorance of man. There is the indifference of man. There's the ingratitude of man. And then there's the intellectualism of man. I want to praise God right now that I'm not intellectual. In the sense that I'm not so smart that I don't believe the Bible. Look at verse number 21-22. They became vain in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. This is all about rejection of the revelation. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. If you have to tell people you're wise and intelligent, You're in trouble and you don't even know it. While rejecting revelation and denying God, men profess themselves to be wise. Because they have rejected God, His word, His truth, they're fools. Jesus said, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. We are dealing with intellectualism today like never before. Even so-called preachers. So much that man doesn't know if there's a God or if he has a word of God. Let me just tell you, your pastor believes this.
Amen.
I have the word of God.
Amen.
Well, you see, but I've studied this out and all the translations are all the word of God. No, they're not. Because if you lay something down here and you lay something down here and this one is different than this one, things that are different are not the same.
Amen.
Do you hear what I said?
You
cannot lay an authorized King James Version Bible down here, a New King James right here, and an NIV right here, which are the two perverted mostly used today, and these two are totally different than this. They're not the same.
Amen.
They're not the same.
Amen.
But I've studied it. You've studied it to the self where you're beyond your intelligence.
Yes, sir.
And you've become a fool.
Yes,
amen. I may preach another hour on this.
Amen.
Doesn't make sense. How can we understand God? Let me put it this way. Let me put it like this. Okay, so I can't prove to you the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, but I believe it by faith.
Amen.
How do I believe it by faith? Because the Bible tells me.
Amen.
So you have the Bible that tells us about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. Then one of these other versions over here says young maiden. I know lots of people that can have babies that are young maiden, but not a virgin.
Yes, sir.
And God said Jesus was born of a virgin.
Yes, sir.
That's what the authorized King James Version is.
That's right.
Well, but I've studied it. Well, you've studied it so that you're not very intelligent, even though you want everybody to believe you're intelligent. Because things that are different are not the same.
Amen.
I believe the Bible.
Amen.
So why is it that if I believe the virgin birth by faith, why can't I believe the Bible by faith? And I do. He's preserved it. And I could preach on hours on the Masoretic text. I could preach on hours on the translations and why and the translators, but I don't need to do that. All I got to do is show you that which is different is not the same.
Yes, sir. That's right.
So if I believe in the virgin birth by faith, I can believe in this Bible by faith.
Amen.
Oh, but you're not very intelligent. Praise God. If that's what it takes.
Yep.
I'm just telling you people, it's sad.
How
can we understand God? Our finite brains can only comprehend so much, yet men worship information more than they worship God. Such is the problem with prideful intellectualism. Solomon said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Without God, wicked men are void of spiritual understanding. They become fools. Men string degrees behind their name and declare themselves to be wise, and they continue to plunge into darkness. Preachers that correct and contradict the word of God in their intellectual giving a better translation, blah, blah, blah. There is no better translation. And we're not so stupid that we can't go and define words and look up words for fuller meaning and understanding, but to pretend that you know better is foolish.
Amen.
You and I cannot prove by intellectualism the virgin birth, but we can believe it by faith. The very lexicons and books men today use to correct the Bible and say that word shouldn't even be in the book are written by men that question and biases against the doctrines and foundational and fundamentals in the Scriptures in the first place. People who write that stuff didn't believe the Bible in the first place. And you come along and read a commentary and all of a sudden you're more intellectual than those that God used way back in the day to put our Bible in English. It's sad. But that's what happened when man rejects revelation. I think there's another thing here, verse number 23, that happens. They changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds, and four-footed beasts and creeping things. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. They changed the glory of God into the and by the way, can I tell you, man is not evolving. Man is not evolving. He's devolving. He started with perfection. He had perfect knowledge of God. He rejected God. He rejected the truth of God. He does not cease to be religious. So he just starts his own. And man carves out a little animal, or he carves out something in his mind, or he carves out some philosophy. And now he rejects God. He simply creates his own God. Someone said, God created man in his own image and man has returned the favor. Man is a religious creature. And so I'm going to just tell you this. Doesn't matter who you are, you're going to worship something. God, help me to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help me not to worship money. Help me not to worship intellectualism. Help me not to worship the American dream, whatever that is. It usually starts with a self and ends up... when you worship yourself, that's called humanism. Then birds, then beasts, then bugs. Can you imagine worshiping a bug? I squash bugs. I know we shouldn't, but... Hindus have over 330 million gods and they're starving to death. Cows walk among them as sacred, because they think there might be an ancestral, there might be one of their ancestors. No, they're a hamburger. They starve to death. But you can't kill a cow because they're worshiping the cow. But notice it is very clear that the true God is uncorruptible. That means God is unchanging and is not capable of corruption. The one true God always has been and always will be. He's the only one that we're to worship. Yet man worships himself. You can worship your business. You can worship your bank account. You can worship your children. Boy, that, I could go off on that a little bit. Got too much of children worship going on. Listen, I wanted to get mine raised and out of the house as quick as possible. And now that's where I'm at. And I like it. And I set my chair at night. I say, thank you, Lord. Hey, Robin, can you get me another cup of iced tea? Make some popcorn. Get up, make your own popcorn. Okay, I'll do that. Okay, so it ain't all it's been up to be. All right. Pretty serious when you start rejecting the revelation of God. The wrath of God will be revealed from heaven. The biblical order in any gospel presentation is always first the warning of danger and then the way of escape. First the judgment on sin and then the means of the pardon of that sin. First the message of condemnation, then the offer of forgiveness. First the bad news of guilt and then the good news of grace. The whole message and purpose of the loving, redeeming grace of God offering eternal life through Jesus Christ rests upon the reality of man's universal guilt of abandoning God and thereby being under the sentence of eternal condemnation and death. Don't reject God's revelation. Because if you do, you'll go further and further away from God. That's why we must preach the gospel.
Amen.
Without the gospel, without salvation through Christ, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. What's it revealed upon? All ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold or suppress or hold down the truth in unrighteousness. Don't do that. When God shows you something through the Word of God, don't be rebellious. Say, yes, Lord, here am I. When you understand the wrath of God, then come to the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
For he will save your soul.
Amen.
But you got to understand your wickedness.
Yes, sir.
Before you can receive the grace of God.
Amen.
Let's stand this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Help us, God, not to in any way suppress or hold down the truth of God's word. Help us to understand that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon man. All of unrighteousness, all ungodliness.